Ever been listening to like a really clear piece of music and then suddenly static cuts in? That kind of jarring thing, that unpredictability on top of something smooth. That's sort of what we're exploring today. We're diving into wave equations and, well, what happens when you throw in a big dose of randomness or, noise, as the mathematicians say.
That's a really good analogy, actually. Because, yeah, classical wave equations, they give you this perfect predictable picture, smooth oscillations.
Right.
But the real world, it's messy. Think about light waves bouncing around, or even like a guitar string vibrating. There's always some unexpected stuff going on.
Okay.
And that's exactly where the stochastic wave equation comes in. It tries to model that randomness.
Okay, so for this deep dive, we're getting specific. We're looking at a stochastic wave equation, but one where the noise doesn't change over time. Time-independent Gaussian noise.
Right, static noise, in a
Yes.
sense.
And yeah, this isn't just us pulling theory out of thin air. One of our listeners actually pointed us to some really fascinating research on this exact topic.
Which is great, yeah.
So think of this session as us generating an audio overview of that pretty complex research, making it accessible for you.
Exactly. And the research, it really looks at two main kinds of this time-independent noise.
Okay.
First, you've got white noise, which you can basically picture as total chaos, just random signals, no connection between different points,
Pure static.
pretty much. And the second type, it has a bit more structure. The randomness isn't completely independent everywhere. There's a link between points, and it follows this specific pattern, a scaling property, kind of like Rayleigh kernels, if you know those.
Ah, okay. So it's like the difference between just pure random fuzz and maybe randomness that has some kind of texture or pattern underneath.
That's a good way to think about it, a texture, yeah.
So our mission today is to figure out, well, first, when do these noisy wave equations even work mathematically? Like, when do they actually have solutions?
Right, existence.
And then how do those solutions act, over time? Or if you change the
How do
randomness?
they behave?
Yeah. Consider this your shortcut, everyone, to understanding some pretty advanced research without needing a PhD in math to decode it all.
We hope so. And yeah, the researchers, they use some heavy-duty math tools, things like the Skorohood integral, Malleavn calculus.
Whoa, okay. That sounds intense.
It is, but don't worry about the names. Just think of them as like specialized tools, microscopes and wrenches for looking deep inside these random systems.
Got it.
We're going to focus on what those tools show us, the insights, not the mechanics of the tools themselves.
Perfect. Okay, so we've got our wave equation. It's getting hit with this constant background noise. Where do we start? How does this noise actually change things?
Well, one of the very first things you notice, and it's super important, is the number of dimensions.
Dimensions, like 1D, 2D, 3D space.
Exactly, space dimensions. The noise hits differently depending on whether the wave is in a line, on a plane, or in, full 3D space.
Okay.
And then, of course, the type of noise matters hugely too. Is it that totally random white noise or the structured scaling kind? That changes everything.
Makes sense. Different space, different noise rules. So let's maybe tackle the structured noise first, the one with the scaling property.
Assumption A in the research, yeah.
Right, assumption A. And let's stick to 3 dimensions or less, like the paper does. What's the main idea behind this scaling noise?
The core idea is how the noise's correlation, its covariance function, changes when you zoom in or out, when you scale the space.
Okay.
If you stretch or shrink space by some factor, let's call it c, the covariance function also scales, but by c to the power of negative alpha, c to the minus alpha.
Alpha.
Yeah, alpha is the scaling index. It's a number between zero and the dimension d. Think of alpha as a measure of the noise's roughness. Yeah,
Roughness.
how jagged or smooth the randomness looks as you change your viewing scale, like
Yeah.
zooming in on a fractal or something.
Got it. So, noise that scales in this specific way, what does that mean for the wave equation solutions? How do we even measure how they're behaving?
A really standard way, a fundamental way, is to look at the solution's p moment.
Keith moment. Okay.
For any p that's two or more, the p to moment gives you a sense of the average size or maybe the intensity of the solution. Basically, if these moments stay finite, stay under control, it's a good sign the solution isn't just exploding.
Ah, okay. So it's a measure of stability in a way.
Exactly. And under this assumption A, with the scaling noise, the research shows, yeah, the equation has a unique solution, and its p of moment stays finite for all times after you start it.
That's good. So these noisy waves, they don't just instantly fall apart.
Right, they persist.
But what about the long haul? What happens way down the line? How do these moments, this average intensity, change as time goes on and on?
This is where it gets really, really interesting. The research gives the exact long-term behavior. how these P-film moments act when time teen gets very large.
Exact behavior with randomness. How?
Well, they use a kind of scaled time. It's not just T, it's TP, which combines the actual time T and that moment number P.
Okay, scaled time, TP.
And what's cool is how the moments grow or decay relative to this scaled time.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the logarithm of the Pth moment and divide it by TP raised to a certain power,
yeah,
it settles down. It approaches a constant value as time goes to infinity.
A constant. Wow. That seems almost too neat for a random system. It suggests there's a very predictable average trend way out in the future.
It does, doesn't it? Even with all that noise buffeting it around.
So what makes up this constant? What determines that final value?
The big piece of the puzzle is this quantity they call M. It's a variational quantity.
Okay.
Think of M as like one number that captures the overall long-term punch of the noise, how much impact it has. And mathematically, it's deeply connected to things like large deviation theory and stable processes, which also describe random things with scaling.
Right. Makes sense. It's all tied together.
Yeah. And the formula for the constant also involves alpha, that scaling index, and D, the dimension.
And just quickly, what kind of actual noise, like real world examples, have this assumption A scaling thing?
Good question. Noise where the correlation drops off with distance following a power law. That's a big one. Like the Ries kernel.
Ries kernel. Okay.
You see that kind of correlation in lots of physical situations. Yeah. Also, things like fractional noise, which people use to model systems with long memories, long range dependencies.
Long memories. Like the noise isn't completely forgetful.
Exactly. Huh? What happens here can affect things far away or for a long time, unlike white noise.
Okay. Perfect segue. Let's switch to white noise then. The blizzard scenario, as you called it.
Right.
The research splits this up. Assumption B for dimensions 1 and 2, and assumption C for the critical dimension D equals 3. Let's start with B, lower dimensions.
Okay, assumption B. So here, the noise is white, which means basically zero correlation between any two different points. Pure, uncorrelated randomness everywhere.
Right.
Mathematically, it's like that scaling index alpha we talked about. It effectively becomes equal to the dimension, D.
Oh, okay. Alpha equals D for white noise.
Yeah. And for D1 and D2, the story is actually quite similar to the scaling noise case we just discussed. You again get unique solutions. Their P moments stay finite for all positive times. It's well behaved.
So stability holds in 1D and 2D white noise. What about the long-term moment behavior? Same kind of predictable trend?
Yes, pretty much analogous. The same kind of scale time idea works. The long-term formula looks similar. But now you replace alpha with D, the dimension.
Mm.
And the constant M becomes specific to white noise. They call it M, M of delta zero.
M of delta zero.
Okay. So yeah, even with completely random point-by-point noise in 1D or 2D, the average wave intensity still follows a clear pattern over long times.
Interesting. The dimension itself steps into that scaling role. Okay, now for the main event, maybe. Assumption C. Critical case. Dimension is exactly 3. Noise is white.
Yeah.
Why critical? What's the big deal about D3 with white noise?
Critical usually means you're right on a knife's edge, a threshold where the whole behavior can just flip. And in this case, D3 white noise, the existence of solutions, or at least their well-behaved moments, actually starts depending on time itself. The research finds there's a critical time, let's call it TP, for the P-theth moment.
TP, critical time.
If your actual time T is less than this TP, everything's okay. Solution exists, P-theth moment is finite, behaves nicely, and this is the kicker. If time T goes beyond TP, the Pth moment becomes infinite.
Infinite, like it blows up.
That's the suggestion.
Yeah.
The moment blows up, which usually implies the solution itself might be blowing up, going haywire.
Whoa. A finite time blow up. That sounds way more dramatic than the stability we saw before.
It is.
So in 3D, this pure random noise can actually make the wave sort of self-destruct after a certain point?
In a statistical sense, yeah. The average intensity measured by that moment explodes.
What determines when this happens? What sets TP?
It's related inversely to the noise strength. Stronger noise, smaller TP.
Makes sense.
It also depends on P1. So higher moments blow up sooner and that white noise constant.
Oh.
And this kind of critical behavior in 3D, it really points to why higher dimensions are often so much harder for these kinds of stochastic equations. Things can just break down.
So just to recap the 3D white noise case, behaves okay for a while, but there's this deadline, TP, after which things potentially go infinite. Wow, dimensions really matter.
They really, really do.
The research also quickly compares this to the stochastic heat equation. How do these wave results stack up?
Yeah, good point. For the heat equation with similar noise, the conditions you need for solutions to exist, something called DeLange's condition, are generally stricter.
Stricter for heat? Why?
DeLange's condition looks at how spread out the noise is in frequency space. The heat equation kernel is less forgiving. But interestingly, the wave kernel's Fourier transform, it oscillates, right? Waves go back and forth.
Yeah.
That oscillation can sometimes average out the noise more effectively. It means the wave equation can sometimes handle rougher noise, noise that wouldn't work for the heat equation. Mm. The existence conditions are weaker.
Weaker conditions for the wave equation. That seems backwards almost, especially with that 3D blowup.
I know, it sounds counterintuitive,
mm-hmm.
but it speaks to the basic physics. Waves oscillate, heat just spreads out, dissipates. That oscillatory nature helps up to a point.
Up to a point, like dimension 3 white noise.
Exactly. That's where the averaging effect apparently isn't enough to tame the strong, uncorrelated noise.
Okay. And the paper mentions moment blow up and a sharp transition time for this critical case.
Yeah.
How does that compare to heat equation analysis?
Well, for the heat equation, especially with noise that changes in time, there's a fantastic tool called the Feynman-Kac representation. It connects the equation to random paths.
Right.
It's super useful for studying moments, intermittency, those wild fluctuations. But unfortunately, we don't really have a neat Feynman-Kac formula for the wave equation.
Okay. So it's harder to analyze.
It makes analyzing moment blow-up trickier. Yeah. But what this research does do is establish that sharp transition time, TP, specifically for the second moment in the critical case. It tells us there's a precise time when the average energy related to the second moment goes infinite. That's a big result, even without Feynman-Kac.
Got it. And just briefly, two other technical terms popped up. Wiener chaos expansion and large deviation results. What's their role?
Okay, so Wiener chaos expansion is basically a way to write the random solution as a sum. An infinite sum of simpler random bits built from the noise and the equation's kernel.
Like building blocks.
Kind of, yeah. And whether that sum converges properly tells you if you have a good solution, if the moments are finite.
And large deviations.
Large deviations theory is all about the probability of rare events, like really big, unlikely fluctuations. It provides the mathematical machinery needed to figure out that long-term asymptotic behavior of the moments we talked about earlier. It underpins those results.
Okay. And one last one. Reverse Cauchy-Schwarz inequality sounds specific.
It is very specific. The normal Cauchy-Schwarz gives you an upper bound. This one, under the right conditions, gives you a lower bound. And that turns out to be technically crucial for proving the lower limits on how those moments behave as time gets large. It pins down the behavior from below.
Okay, wow, we've definitely taken a deep dive here. From scaling noise, white noise, dimensions, moments, blow-up times.
A lot of ground, yeah.
So if we try to boil it down, what are the absolute key takeaways from all this research on the stochastic wave equation with this time-independent noise?
I think the main thing is this clear picture of when solutions make sense and how their average size evolves. It really hinges on the dimension, D, and the noise type, that scaling index alpha, or just pure white noise.
Right.
So for the scaling noise and for white noise in 1D and 2D, things are pretty stable long term. Predictable growth or decay of the moments. But then, boom, white noise in 3D. That critical case reveals this totally different behavior, potential instability, finite time, moment blow up.
And any specific aha moments, things that were particularly surprising or cool?
Oh, definitely the emergence of D3 as the critical dimension for white noise, that sharp change in behavior.
Yeah.
Also, how directly the noise's own scaling properties dictate the scaling laws for the solution's moments over long times.
Mm.
That connection is really neat. And maybe, yeah, that counterintuitive bit that the wave equation can actually tolerate some noise better than the heat equation because of the oscillations. Except, of course, when it hits that critical 3D white noise wall.
It's definitely way more nuanced than just saying noise makes waves random. Wow. This research gives such a deeper feel for the interplay between the randomness, the space it's in, and the wave dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as we wrap this up, what's a final thought for you, our listener, to chew on? Something provocative.
Okay, how about this? We've looked intensely at these stochastic wave equations. How could these ideas scaling, critical dimensions, moment behavior, maybe inform how we understand other complex systems that get kicked around by randomness? Well, think way outside physics, maybe. Financial markets, prices jump around seemingly randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Is there underlying scaling? Are there critical points?
Mm-hmm.
Or, maybe closer to physics, atmospheric dynamics, weather systems.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just sticking with waves. What does that potential blow up in 3D white noise mean for modeling real phenomena? Does it tell us our models are incomplete in certain regimes, or that some physical waves just can't exist under those extreme noise conditions?
Really makes you think about the edges of our models and where the math points us. Fantastic questions.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for walking us through all that complexity. And to our listener who suggested this topic, thank you. We hope this audio overview was insightful.
Hope so, Kit.
And to all of you listening, thanks for diving deep with us again. We'll catch you on the next intellectual adventure.